I want to read tonight from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 64, and we'll read from verse 1. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 1. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him with thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned, and those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us, because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people. Thy holy cities are a wilderness, Zion is a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? Amen. And we know the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word tonight to all our heart. It's those words in verse 6. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, that we want to consider this evening. We'll just read that whole verse. It says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And as I say, it's particularly those words, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. It is vitally important that every one of us have a sufficient and an adequate righteousness in the sight of God. It is on the basis of personal inherent righteousness that God is favourable to any of his rational creatures. It is on this basis that God will accept them into his presence, that he will bestow his blessing upon them both in this life and in the life to come. Having this requisite righteousness is therefore an absolutely vital thing. There is no more important matter that we can ever address in all of the affairs of life, all of those matters that demand our attention and our time and our thoughts. There is nothing that is important as obtaining a sufficient and an adequate righteousness that gains us favour with God. When the scriptures speak of righteousness, it is speaking of having merit before God. You see, it is merit alone that entitles an individual to God's favour. God's favour is not something that is indiscriminately thrown around to all and sundry. God's favour is bestowed upon those who merit that favour, and only those that merit that favour. Those who do not have sufficient merit have no entitlement to any favor or blessing from God. Matters not what they think they have entitlement to. Matters not what they desire, what they might want. They will only have the favor of God if they have that merit that gains that favor. And we need to make no mistake about the terms upon which God bestows His favor. There must be an adequate and a sufficient righteousness to lay claim to any blessing. Now that merit or that righteousness that entitles us to God's favor comes from perfect obedience to God's holy law. Merit is based solely upon obedience. It is not based upon sentiment. It is not based upon emotion. It is not based upon pretense. It is based solely upon perfect obedience. That is the only way by which we can obtain the righteousness that we need and the merit that will gain us the favor of God. Perfect obedience is what God requires in order to have a sufficient and an adequate righteousness. Turn over, if you would, there, just to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 21. We're going to read verses 21 and 22. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 21. It says, "But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he has committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live and shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, shall he live." And here's this principle expounded, that you have to have a sufficient righteousness in order to obtain God's blessing, and that righteousness is obtained by a perfect obedience to God's holy law. Now, as we know, that's going to rule out every sinner from obtaining God's favor by their own righteousness. But the principle is expounded here in these two verses. You'll notice in verse 21 that the Lord talks about keeping all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live, he shall not die. There has to be a doing of all that God commands. Only when there is a doing of all that God commands, perfect obedience, can you have merit before God, and subsequently can you know his favor and his blessing. Upon that basis, every individual stands before God. We must have this sufficient merit. And having said all of that about the importance of righteousness, we want to come to Isaiah 64 and verse 6 and consider this statement regarding our own righteousness. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, having said all about the importance of this righteousness and what it gets, it brings us the blessing of God. Here we are told, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We want to consider tonight the state of our own righteousness. First of all, I want you to consider that this is God's opinion of our righteousness. It is true that it is the prophet who is uttering these words, the prophet Isaiah. But the prophet has got a sight of himself as reflected in the mirror of God's absolute perfection and holiness. The whole text needs to be taken and understood in this regard. Here is a man who has got a sight of himself as contrasted with a thrice holy God. Here is a man coming to awareness of himself and others, all that are around him, because he's not only speaking about himself, but he's speaking about, in the plural, he says, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. He has got a glimpse of himself, and he's got a glimpse of all of humanity before God. He's not exaggerating. He's not making the situation out to be worse than it is. There's no hyperbole in these words for the sake of emphasis. The prophet is not waxing lyrical with emotion. He's not employing poetic license in what he is saying. Isaiah is speaking the truth as it is. Here is how it stands with every individual before God. Our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And oh, that every individual would come to see that tonight. Not what we think of ourselves, but what God thinks of us. Not how we see ourselves contrasted with some individual in this world, but how we see ourselves contrasted with the holiness and the perfection of God. And we'll come to the same conclusion that the prophet came to. Everything about us, by way of righteousness, is just a filthy rag. The prophet had a true appraisal of how God sees us all. The words of Isaiah are very much in keeping with what the Lord has already said about this people. If you turn back to chapter 1 of this prophecy and to verses 5 and 6, you'll readily see that the words of the prophet in chapter 64 and verse 6 tie in with what the Lord had to say at the very beginning of this man's ministry. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 5, "Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." As God looks down upon mankind, we are a stinking mass of corruption. And that's exactly what the prophet has come to see about himself and about others. He has come to see himself as God sees him and sees others. And that's where we all need to come tonight. We need to come to the place where we see ourselves as God sees us. And here is the Lord's opinion of all our own righteousness. They're just stinking, filthy rags. Now tonight, if you're unconverted, you have to think about the implications of that fact. If God says that our righteousnesses stink before him, that means we have no merit in God's sight. And if we have no merit in God's sight, that means we have no claim to his blessing. We have no claim to his favour. We have no entitlement to heaven. We have no entrance into that place. We have forfeited then every right to every blessing. If we have no merit, if our righteousnesses stink before God, then we are lost and undone. We are perishing. We are in our sins. We are going down to hell. And there's no possibility of anything that we will do that will alter that fact in and of ourselves. As Paul reminds us in Romans 3 verse 20, "Therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight." Why? Because our deeds are just filthy rags. Or as Paul says in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done." Because our works of righteousness are filthy rags. Our lack of a sufficient and an adequate righteousness closes us out of heaven. Closes every individual out of heaven. No one has a right of themselves to heaven. And yet how many live and die with that perception that somehow they have a right to get into heaven. That they have an entitlement to get into heaven. And it matters not how they live. They think that they have lived good enough, and when they come to die, that somehow they have got an entrance into heaven. Well, God says our righteousness stinks. And if we have no righteousness, we have no merit. And if we have no merit, we have no chance of favour. We're closed out of heaven. And that's God's opinion of us. The prophet's words are tying up with what God has already said. And oh, that sinners would come to realize that tonight. To see themselves in the mirror of the Word of God. To get past seeing themselves how they view their own hearts and lives. But to see themselves as the Lord does. The second thing I want you to consider here is that which is described as filthy rags. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we want to take a closer look at that statement and break it up into a number of different parts. And just notice how far this goes, how deep this goes. How it rules out beyond any shadow of a doubt any possibility of gaining God's favour by anything that we have done. You'll notice there that it's talking about the very best of our efforts. They are described as filthy rags. It's not talking about our sins being as filthy rags. It's not talking about our shortcomings being filthy rags. They're not speaking about the very worst of sins that some individual can commit and the depths to which they can plummet. If that was said, if the very worst of sins are filthy rags in the sight of God, oh, there's many that could understand that. But God says it's our righteousnesses that are filthy rags. It's a description of, if we want to call it, the very best moments that a person has. The very best of their good deeds, as some would call them. All of those things that they think are pleasing to themselves and they think are pleasing to God. Those things that an individual are doing to get themselves favour with God and they think an entitlement to heaven. The Lord looks down upon those very best of things that an individual is trying to do and the Lord says they're filthy, stinking rags. Whatever we might put into that category before God, they're nothing more than filthy rags. And that includes all that respectable, upward, outwardly righteous living that people engage in. Church attendance, church ceremonies, good neighbourliness, and a host of other things that we could include into that. All that would fall into this category of our righteousnesses. All of these things that you can gather together are the very best that an individual can do. The very best that they can do. God says, filthy rags. Filthy rags. It says there that it's all our righteousnesses. That's the valuation that the Lord puts upon the sum total of them. He's not looking at them one by one. He's not looking at them some particular select group of deeds that an individual has engaged in. And maybe they didn't engage in it with the best of motives or intentions. Maybe there were ulterior motives and other desires that lay at the back of some deed that looked upon to be good in itself. The Lord is not singling out one individual thing or even a small group of things. He's bringing everything together. All of man's efforts. All of man's deeds. The Lord says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Bring them all together. Total them all up and the sum total before God. They stink. They stink before God. And yet how many tonight are striving to please the God of heaven on these terms. By some deed that they have done, some collection of deeds that they have done. And they think that when God brings everything together and weighs it all up, that somehow it will gain them merit with God and favour with God and an entrance into heaven. And they've been doing that for years. That's how they live. That's how they live. And yet God's opinion of all these years of effort and toil is that they're only equal to filthy rags. And yet there's multitudes tonight are attempting to stand before God in filthy rags. They're worse than the aprons of fig leaves that Adam and Eve sought to come in. They're worse than the fig leaves. Filthy rags. The outcome will be the same that Adam and Eve discovered. Because when the Lord came and appeared in the garden, they couldn't stand before Him. The covering that they had wasn't sufficient. The righteousness that they thought would enable them now to come before the Lord wasn't sufficient, and they ran and hid themselves. And so it will be with every individual that comes to seek to stand before God on their own righteousness. The sum total of them. The very best of their efforts. The very best of an individual's efforts are just filthy rags in the sight of God. But surely we have to confess and acknowledge the truth, how seldom do we reach those self-righteous heights. It is true that mankind has a higher opinion of themselves than is proper. Man thinks better of himself than he really is. And how often does a person really reach those heady heights of respectable, upward, outward, righteous living? Because no matter what they seek to do, no matter what good work they seek to do, in their eyes, the Lord tells us there's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. There's no act that an individual does that is meritorious before God. Because every act, you see, no matter how good outwardly it looks, no matter how beneficial it might seem to individuals around them or even to the individual themselves who is doing it, every act is characterized by impurity, by imperfection, by pride, or by vanity. Every act that man does. Everything that may look as a good deed. Everything that the sinner himself looks upon and thinks, this will gain me merit with God. This is a good thing to do. It is done with an ulterior motive. And even when it is done, it is filled with imperfection and impurity. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. There is no one that reaches the heady heights of doing anything that is meritorious before God. Listen to the language of Paul in Titus 3 and verse 3. He says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Now Paul thought he had a righteousness at a time. Paul thought he had a righteousness. When you go over to those words in Philippians where Paul gives us something of his pedigree, he openly acknowledges that he thought he had a righteousness. Philippians chapter 3. He says, "Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." Here's Paul's opinion of himself. "When I was a Pharisee," he says, "when I lived out of Christ, when I lived in a certain way, I thought I was blameless before the law. I thought I had a righteousness." But then there came a day when he got a glimpse of himself as the Lord saw him. And Paul discovered himself to be just a rotten sinner. And there he is writing to Titus, and he says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." He's not talking about somebody else. He's talking about himself. He's talking about himself. Oh, in his unsaved days he thought he was blameless before the law, and that he had a righteousness that would gain him favour with God. But now he says, "I know that even in those times when I thought I was blameless, I was doing things and they were filled with sin. Impurity, imperfection, pride, vanity characterized all of those things that he did." Man doesn't reach any heady heights at all. He doesn't have any righteousness to speak of. He's just a poor, vile sinner in the gutter. Oh, no matter how upright and respectable an individual may think themselves to be, they're just a sinner in the gutter. Stained by sin, rotten before God, with no righteousness to speak of at all. And all the efforts, the very best of them, all brought together, the Lord says they're just filthy rags. They're rotten in God's sight. They make the individual unclean before God. doesn't gain them God's favour, it brings God's judgment upon them. They're only adding to sin when they engage in acts of their own righteousness to seek to gain favour with God. They're only adding to sin. Is this how it is with you tonight? Your own righteousness? God says they're just filthy rags. The very best that you can do. That's humbling. It's humbling for a sinner to come to that place and acknowledge. Because that's not the opinion that man has of themselves. That's not the natural thoughts that we have about ourselves. We're more like the Pharisee that is mentioned in Luke's Gospel, where he went in to pray. And he began to thank the Lord for the things that he was not. I'm not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He begins to boast of the things that he was. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. That's the natural inclination of the heart. It is not to acknowledge that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Rather, it's to say, I'm not all that bad. I'm not all that bad. I'm better than the next person. And we can always find somebody that we're better than, or at least we think we're better than. That's human nature. They can always pick out the individual that they're better than. And they can contrast themselves with that individual. And like the Pharisee, they can say, there's things that he does that I wouldn't do. But it matters not what they are to me. God says they're just stinking rags. That word, filthy, it's even difficult for us to bring out the full meaning of what is contained in that word. It is something so rotten, so filthy, so stinking, so untouchable. That's God's opinion of our righteousness. All of them put together, added up, totaled. Filthy rags. One final thing I want you to consider here. And that is the truth is we need another's righteousness. That's what these words bring us to conclude. This is the consequence of this statement. We need another's righteousness. We've already sought to explain the importance of righteousness, why we need it. We can't have merit before God, and if we've no merit, we can't gain God's favour. And if, as this statement tells us, we have no righteousness of our own, all of them added up, totals filthy rags, then what are we going to do? Where go? To whom are we going to go? Because we need a righteousness. It's absolutely clear that is true. We can't depend upon our own. It's of no use and no value. Therefore, we must look away from ourselves. We must look to another. You see, the sinner cannot go on as they are. They have to start looking away from themselves. They have to start looking for another's righteousness to get into heaven. And where are they going to look? They have to Christ. Nothing else and nothing less will do. Nothing else and nothing less is acceptable to God. You and I must obtain Christ's righteousness or we perish forever. That's the righteousness that is required. That's the merit that we need. That's what will gain us favour with God. Nothing less than Christ's righteousness. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The very last verse of that chapter. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Speaking about the God of heaven, it says, For he, the God of heaven,
hath made him, that's the Lord Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Nothing less will do the sinner than having the righteousness of God. That's the standard we have to have. If we want to know God's favour, we have to have a righteousness that is equal to the righteousness of God. Our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We can do nothing but turn to Christ and look to him and obtain his righteousness. It tells us here he was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ came into this world, went to the cross, laid down his life there to provide our righteousness. His own righteousness. The righteousness of God. He did that by rendering a perfect obedience to the law of God. We started out by saying that's how you obtain righteousness. It is by perfect obedience. Well, Jesus Christ obtained our righteousness by perfect obedience. He's the only man who ever did that. There's no other individual that has lived in this world and rendered a perfect righteousness but him. And he died to remove the curse of sin for the sinner's breaking of the law. He has provided a perfect righteousness, a complete righteousness. It is to him we must come, therefore. There's nothing filthy or ragged about Christ's righteousness. It's spotless. It's spotless. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30 it says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Christ has made unto us righteousness. As we have noticed, the sinner has none of their own. But Christ has a righteousness. He has obtained that righteousness by his perfect obedience in this world. Oh, he was righteous in himself. But he came into this world and he earned a righteousness that he did not need himself. And he freely bestows that righteousness to others. And the sinner can have Christ's righteousness made over unto them. This perfect obedience that he rendered. This satisfaction of God. This merit before God that will obtain God's favour. That righteousness can be made over to a sinner. And they can have the righteousness of God. That spotless, seamless righteousness that enters and fits them to enter into God's presence. The Bible talks about imputed righteousness. It speaks of Abraham and it being counted unto him for righteousness, his faith in Christ. You see, God transfers our righteousness over to the sinner. Christ takes their sin. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us. He was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he takes the sinner's sin, and in return he gives the sinner his righteousness, his perfect obedience. And they therefore have personal, inherent, spotless righteousness. That's what the sinner needs. And the only individual who can provide that righteousness is Jesus Christ. They can go to none other. You can go to none other tonight than to Jesus Christ. And obtaining that righteousness makes us the children of God and the heirs of heaven. Peter, in writing to fellow believers in 2 Peter 1 and verse 1, says, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ." So Peter's talking there about something that is obtained through the righteousness of Christ. He describes it as like precious faith. But that faith is a gift from God. That faith is the beginnings of the enjoyment of all of God's favour and blessing. No sinner can ever come to know anything of God's favour until they come to have faith, saving faith in Jesus Christ. Then they begin to enjoy all that God has laid up for them in Christ. And Peter says to these individuals that he's writing to, fellow believers, He says you have obtained something through the righteousness of Christ. And if you have the righteousness of Christ tonight, you have obtained something. Because that righteousness gives you merit, and merit brings favor. God's favor. And may you have that. May you have that. Surely the question needs to be addressed to you tonight. Have you come and obtained Christ's righteousness? Have you looked away from yourself and looked to Christ? Or are you like the Jews that Paul spoke of? They rejected Christ and they went about seeking to establish their own righteousness. And how many there are like that tonight? They have rejected Christ and they're going about to establish their own righteousness. They've despised the Savior. They won't take the sinner's place. They won't humble themselves at the foot of the cross and acknowledge that they're perishing and that they're rotten in the sight of God and they need the Savior's righteousness. They won't do that. Pride keeps them back. Haughtiness of spirit keeps them back from coming to Christ. And what are they doing instead? They're going about seeking to establish their own righteousness. And they'll perish. They'll perish. I finish with one text of Scripture. I would like you to turn to it. Philippians chapter 3. We've already quoted some verses out of this chapter about Paul and his opinion of himself in his unsaved days. And we noticed how he saw himself in a different light. But look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. Paul is expressing his desire here. And he talks about that he might be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul says, that's what I want. Oh, there was a time he was satisfied with his own righteousness, but not anymore. He says, I want Christ's righteousness. Not my own, but I want the righteousness of Christ. And how do you obtain it? Well, Paul tells us there, it's by faith. That's how the sinner obtains Christ's righteousness, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not saved tonight, young or old, may you simply come and believe on Jesus Christ. May you trust in Him. Trust in His work. That hymn there that we sang, What Can Wash Away My Sin, verse 4 says, this is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. May that be your confidence tonight. And nothing else. For your righteousnesses, my righteousnesses, of themselves are filthy rags. But Christ is spotless. Therefore come and avail of His spotless righteousness. May the Lord bless His word tonight to all of our hearts. For His name's sake. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee tonight we can cling on to Jesus Christ. We praise Thee for the one whom Thou hast sent into the world, the one who lived a perfect life, who died an atoning death, who has provided for us a spotless righteousness. And we rejoice that in that righteousness we can stand in Thy courts, we can know Thy favour. We can dwell in heaven for all eternity. And we pray, Lord, that there would not be one of us in this meeting tonight that would not have on Christ's righteousness. Lord, may we see ourselves as we really are. May we treasure Christ. And if there's one that doesn't know Thee, then, Lord, before this night is through, before this meeting finishes, we pray that there might be a looking on to Christ in simple faith. O Lord, we rejoice that it just is through faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that that might be so tonight. Search out every heart. Come, Lord, and work amongst us. Bless thy truth to us now, we pray. And as we come to a close, O Lord, we would commit ourselves to thee. We pray thy keeping power to be our portion. And thou would watch over us. Grant us thy blessing. For we pray tonight in Jesus' worthy and precious name. Amen.